At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Let's go!
This is the Big East Sports Show
on the SportsMap Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday. I am your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Hanging out in studio, my brand new producer, that is Sean Mapes. Give him a follow on Twitter at Sean Mapes. And the NFL conversation is going to continue. And, you know, one of the things as we start the season's winding down, I mean, what teams are going to make a change at quarterback next season as we look ahead to 2022?
Yeah, and you got to start with kind of the obvious, the gaping holes at the position right now as we sit with the Carolina Panthers. I mean, it feels like they've already had four different quarterbacks this year, and I don't think they're satisfied with any of them. So they're definitely going to be maybe in that Deshaun Watson or maybe even draft a quarterback kind of position. Washington football team, another team that disappointed. Now Fitzpatrick did get hurt. Maybe they just roll with Fitzpatrick, but that still is a different quarterback because he only played, I think, the first half of the first game for the football team, who's apparently going to have a new name in a couple weeks. That would take some getting used to. Now, Miami, that's an interesting one. The Miami Dolphins, they're aggressive at the trade deadline for Deshaun Watson, but since then, Tua's really impressed. And then you got to look at maybe the teams that are going to lose a quarterback, maybe they don't want to get rid of, but they request a trade like the Packers and Seahawks.
Well, speaking of the Packers, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what is the best situation for him in the future? I mean, does he need to move on?
I never understood why he felt so wrong that he needed to leave. So for me, if I was Aaron Rodgers, I'd want to stay because they've been the one seed the last 2 years. They've hosted NFC – or last year they hosted the NFC Championship game. They went to another one in 2019, and this year they're obviously the one seed again. So I would stay, but apparently there's something – you know, some personal grudge that he has. And as we know with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, if there's a personal grudge, he'll hold on to it.
Well, you just have a feeling that his time is coming to an end in Green Bay. But what about the MVP race? Is he your favorite?
I mean, he's got to be the favorite now. You have AP voters saying that they're not going to vote for him for MVP because they think he's a jerk. So I didn't know that was criteria for an MVP, to not be a jerk, but apparently it is. I think the whole antics will hurt him, but obviously I think he's still going to walk away with the trophy.
Okay, stick around. Much more NFL conversation coming up here in Hour 2 at Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your Saturday morning. We love to hear from you and engage our audience. Always live on Twitter at eRadioSports. Info at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. We are so excited to continue to preview the college football playoff national championship game between Georgia and Alabama. Up next, USA Today, that is our good friend, and it is Christian Dyer. Give him a follow on Twitter at Christian R. Dyer. Happy New Year, Christian.
Happy New Year. Happy Saturday.
Well, usually when we have you on the program and we extend the invitation, we're always talking about the Jets, the Giants. You know, we're talking NFL. But you've been doing a lot of coverage for USA Today and college football. Can Alabama beat Georgia twice in one season?
Well, I want to go back to what you said originally, Alyssa, which was cut my coverage of the NFL. Can we agree that football's better on Saturdays than Sundays? I know that's going to get me in some trouble.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm here from the Northeast, not exactly known as a college sports hotbed. But, you know, let's start this conversation off with just the hot take. Football's better on Saturdays than Sundays.
Well, we've got two NFL games today, right? So that's a good thing on this Saturday morning.
And football's not bad any time of the year, but just a little bit better on Saturdays for some reason. Listen, Monday night's game, it's going to be, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, it's another SEC, all-SEC college football playoff championship game. And, you know, we're seeing these teams play yet again, second time this season. But at the end of the day, this is number one and number two in the country, in my eyes, no matter what the college football playoff seedings had. I know why they had to do the rankings as such and make Georgia number three. But, you know, Georgia has the most dominant defense in the country by far. And I think Alabama's probably been the most consistent team on both sides of the football in all three phases of the game as any program in this country. And you know, this is not going to be a blowout game. I'll watch it. It's going to be, you know, 15 points as soon as I say that. But, you know, this isn't going to be a blowout. This is going to be a battle, and it's going to be the college football playoff rankings got this one right because the two best teams, I think for the first time in a while, are playing on Monday night.
Christian Dyer, our very special guest at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. You can check him out on USA Today. And let's talk about the key for the Dogs specifically. They've got to figure out a way to slow down Bryce Young, and they've got to bring a better defensive performance against Alabama this time.
Well, they did a pretty good job through the first quarter and a half or so of that SEC championship game, which seems so long ago. You know, and it is. I think that's part of the problem in kind of looking at who's going to be favored in this game. You can't take a whole lot from that SEC championship game. Injuries on the Alabama side and Georgia maybe didn't show up and play their best football. But you're talking about X factors for Georgia. I don't think there's going to be a bigger one, literally, than Jordan Davis, their massive interior defensive lineman. This is someone 30 tackles on the year, 3.5 tackles for a loss, 2 sacks. Wasn't necessarily dominant in the game against Alabama, but that's because Alabama, by the second quarter, had really started to pull away with those 3 big touchdowns and field goal to kind of put the game out of reach. And they were able to do some things to neutralize Davis. I do think that the Alabama offensive line, a little bit on the bigger and stronger side than a lot of the offensive lines we're seeing in college football, has struggled against speedy defenses, against undersized, shifty defenses. That's not what Georgia is. Georgia's big, strong, and fast, and they'll come at you. And, you know, Alabama did a pretty good job of handling them in the SEC championship game. But if Davis can consistently collapse the pocket, really kind of make things difficult on Bryce Young, his job in the interior is gap assignment. It's also to really kind of bottle things up and try to stop that Alabama offense from wanting to run the ball, which they did so effectively against Cincinnati. If Jordan Davis has a big game, the kind that we've seen him have consistently throughout the year, there's a reason why he won the Chuck Bednarik Award as the nation's top defensive player. But I think Alabama has a I think Georgia has a chance.
You know, in hour one, we talked a lot about Georgia's quarterback in Stetson Bennett, and what an inspirational story. I mean, he has done really well. He has defied the odds and led his team to the national title game. How has he done it?
Yeah, well, he's done it because Georgia has a very balanced offense. When you look at their output, what they've been able to do running the ball, they're able to set up the play action. They don't have Bennett under center a whole lot. He gets the ball out of his hands quickly, hot reads. And, you know, I know he got an awful lot of criticism 5 weeks ago in the SEC championship game. He had 3 touchdowns but 2 interceptions, still put up 340 passing yards. He had a very good game, but a couple miscues there. So Bennett takes his time in the pocket and I think makes that accurate read. Georgia is able to systematically matriculate the ball down the field, so to speak. That's going to be a real big key for them. They're going to have to win the time of possession in this game. And Bennett, with the exception of the SEC championship game, has done that. He's limited mistakes. He's made the correct read far more often than not. And he's turned into not someone who's just a game manager, but he's able to put the ball in places for his wide receivers to get important yards after catch. This isn't an explosive Bulldogs offense in terms of big plays, but they do get big chunk yardage, and that's because Bennett's willing to lead his receivers.
Stetson Bennett is a former walk-on. He was not a 5-star prospect. You cover the college game, Christian. I mean, what are your thoughts on star ratings? I mean, are you a believer in the recruiting star system?
Oh boy, you're gonna,
come on, bring it.
I think the star ratings get it right more often than not. And right this afternoon,
that's fair.
We've got the All-American Bowl in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome. And you look at the number of players that have come through, that game throughout the year. So, you know, it's, there's a lot of future NFL players that come through. I think the problem is, and this is where you're gonna get me in trouble, but I go there willingly. At the end of the day, the star system very often favors juniors, right? They begin to really rank these players, the national recruiting websites, beginning their junior years. I know sometimes sophomores sometimes get those initial rating bumps, but they begin as juniors. They're the physically mature players, and very often there's an emphasis on their ability to go on and produce and play at the next level. It's not necessarily who's going to be the best college football player, and I don't know anybody short of God who's going to be able to project 4, 5, 6 years down the road someone's ability to play in the NFL. There's just far too many factors, including coaching changes and schemes, etc. And I also think that when you start to look at juniors, you ignore the fact that there's an awfully big jump for players between the ages of 16 to 17, but also between 17 to 18. There's late risers, there's bloomers, and very often programs, and we've seen this with the likes of a Cincinnati, for instance, Alyssa, that doesn't fill up the recruiting class very early. They are more than willing to look and to wait and to find those late bloomers, the players who maybe are a little bit more cerebral, who had to grow into their bodies to be impact players, and who have a big upside. It's what the likes of Cincinnati's done in Boston College and programs like Stanford and other places where they may not necessarily fill up their recruiting classes early, but very often it's those players they sign in December last minute that make the impact because the other players have physically matured a little bit earlier. These players are arriving a little bit later in the game, but may be better rounded athletes.
Two impressive quarterbacks in the national title game and matchup, Stenson Bennett and Bryce Young. We have hit on them. Also, the coaches. And, you know, my final question for you is, Christian, just talk about how Nick Saban consistently, you know, brings winning programs and they get to the title game. They make it happen.
Yeah, they make it happen because they go out there and they play to win, but they also play not to lose. And I don't think that there's a coach in college football that balances that better. There's this new breed of coaches in college football that are really kind of making their chops, so to speak, by being almost rebels and everything's going on for it on a fourth down and rolling the dice on every play. And that may be exciting, but it doesn't always win championships. And I think Saban, more than anything, has instilled in his team a discipline. There's a reason why Alabama players in particular in the trenches on both sides of the ball are so successful in the NFL. It's because they're disciplined. They don't create penalties. They're not making mistakes that lead to turnovers, to their quarterbacks getting blown up if they're on the offensive line. They're not jumping across the line necessarily and costing their team a chance at a third and long and giving the opposition a first down. And I think, you know, even how we look at their quarterbacks, there's always been this idea that Alabama quarterbacks don't necessarily thrive in the NFL. We've seen what Mac Jones did this past year with the New England Patriots. Some of it's system, but some of it's also the fact that he played high-level games, he knows how to win, and he knows how to limit mistakes. And the team that limits mistakes more often than not is going to be the one that's going to emerge as a winner. Now, it doesn't hurt that Alabama has otherworldly talent, speed and strength and size on their roster, but I don't think Nick Saban gets enough credit for being an X's and O's coach, mm-hmm. but being a disciplinarian. We have players' coaches these days, Alyssa. We don't have disciplinarians.
Yeah.
And the players that come out from these programs, like Alabama with a disciplinarian coach, are ready for that next step and can thrive on Sundays.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch Monday night, Georgia-Alabama, 7 o'clock kickoff. And this will be the second time Georgia-Alabama have met in the college football playoff title game as Alabama came back to win by 3 in overtime in 2017. Always one of our favorites. That is Christian Dyer. Check him out, USA Today, and give him a follow on Twitter, at Christian R. Dyer. Happy New Year, Christian. We look forward to another conversation real soon.
Happy New Year. Take care.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 2 at Sports Map Radio Network. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show, our first show of 2022. And so thrilled to have back with us to preview Week 18 of the NFL season. And that's my good friend Andy McNamara from Sportsnet. Happy New Year, Andy.
Happy New Year, Alyssa. How is everything on your end?
It is all good. It's not as cold as Canada right now. It's been about 80 degrees all week.
Yeah, it is not that here.
A couple of big games this afternoon that are coming up, and that, of course, is the Chiefs and the Broncos with a 4:30 Eastern time kickoff on ESPN. And then you got the Cowboys, who are on the road. I was at the game last week at AT&T Stadium against the Cardinals. We'll get into that here in just a moment, but the Cowboys and Eagles. So when we look at these matchups, I mean, what intrigues you the most?
Well, I think the most interesting matchup is certainly the Cowboys-Eagles matchup, because while the Chiefs, they got a spot locked up. Now, they still have something to play for. That's the good part about the one bye week only, the one top seed, is that it keeps all these games relevant, whereas in other weeks maybe or other years, a team may sit everybody. So the Chiefs can't really do that. But that Cowboys-Eagles game, man, even though the Eagles clinched, it's division rival. You got the Cowboys at the top. Philly wants that one where Dallas wants to set that message and everybody to set that tone going into the playoffs while still trying to balance out, okay, I don't want to get any of my stars injured. Because for Dallas, too, you look at it, there's still some seeding possibilities, right? Just overall seed where the Rams and the Cardinals are still battling for that top spot in the West. So that could drop, and a Cowboy win could put them up the top. So there's so many different angles to this. So I just want to see, last week of the season, where's everybody at? Who comes out healthy? And really, who still seems to be in that rhythm, even if it's not for the full game? Just who looks good?
Well, let's talk about offensively. How did the Cowboys get in rhythm? Because they certainly didn't look good last week.
No. And that's been the conundrum for them, especially with Dak Prescott for chunks of this year. Because I always look at it first from, let's say, a fantasy football side, where Dak Prescott was an absolute monster for much of the season. And then we saw a blip of what, three, 4 weeks, probably, four out of five where it wasn't great. But then the last 2 weeks,
right,
offensively, look, seven touchdowns, no interceptions, last two games, no one's complaining, right? That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So how does everything else come together? Also, I want to see, do we get any sort of more clarity? And then we're probably ultimately going to find out into the playoffs and what that means then for next season. Where does Ezekiel Elliott fit? Because he's clearly not the same bell cow back where he was. Tony Pollard is always mixed in. How much does he get mixed in? Do we see him more this week to be kept fresh? What does that look like in the playoffs? That's where things seem a little bit muddy to me. If you need to rely on the run game, is Zeke one, still somebody you can lean on heavy? And two, if he's not, how much can you really rely on Tony Pollard, who has shown some fun flashes throughout this year?
Hey, glad you're with us on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. He is back, and that is Andy McNamara, Sportsnet National Fantasy Host. Give him a follow at AndyMC81, also at Sportsnet, talking about the Cowboys at the Eagles, 8:15 Eastern Time kickoff on ESPN. The Chiefs, the Broncos, what happened in that loss against the Bengals last week? I mean, the defense let them down.
Well, yeah. And listen, I'll tell you this. The Chiefs are in my bad books because that win by the Bengals eliminated my poor Browns.
Yeah.
Right? Not that, they weren't looking too hot anyway. Poor Bake is off of getting his shoulders, shoulder surgery and all that. So, not a great end. But for the Chiefs, that defense, which really, if you look, was at the start of the year, kind of the same sort of jumbled bit of a mess that it was last year. And then they got really good, right? Then kind of sneaky good. You had the pass protection, with the run, everything was sort of clicking. And then all of a sudden, you get blasted by the Bengals. And that's after a win streak of how long? They haven't lost since the Titans game going back many, many weeks. And then the Bengals popped up. So for this Broncos game, again, it's a divisional game. Broncos aren't going to be going anywhere. And so where do we see this Chiefs team with still something to play for? Not that the Broncos offense is let's say, a little less threatening, I guess, mm-hmm, safe to say. A little less than the Bengals' high-powered one. So maybe even if we see a good performance, it's nothing to really hang our hat on because, man, like, You got a banged up Drew Lock. Teddy Bridgewater's on injured reserve. And if Lock can't go, Brett Ripien's in. I don't think they're scaring too many people. Oh, by the way, your two running backs, Gordon and Williams, also accused beside their name for questionable. This isn't going to be a high-scoring affair from the Broncos side anyway. So I don't know how much we can take away from a good Broncos defense, because I feel with how this lineup looks for Denver, a lot of teams could have good-looking defensive weeks.
Okay, well, we got to talk about your team. That, of course, is the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. You just mentioned them, 7-9, and they will face the Bengals tomorrow, and they attempt to snap a three-game lose streak. What's kind of your takeaways on this whole thing with Baker Mayfield, and just how meaningful is this game for the Browns on Sunday?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a weird situation, and the contacts I have in Cleveland media, Alyssa, they're saying something doesn't smell right in the building, some sort of dysfunction, something along the lines of, okay, it was clear since game two when he got hit. Look at it this way. Healthy Baker Mayfield week one and into week two before he made that tackle and shoulder injury was phenomenal. The numbers that he had through 2 weeks, now only 2 weeks, but he had the highest completion percentage in the NFL out of any quarterback. You know, again, small sample size, but that's nothing you can look away from. That was coming off of that great season he had a year ago learning that Stefanski offense. So everything was going smoothly. All of a sudden, and people say, oh, it's his non-throwing shoulder. Listen, people, I've never had a torn labrum, and I hope to never have one.
Yeah.
All right? But apparently, if you get hit with that, even with the shoulder harness, your shoulder could pop out. Now imagine you have to play with 300-pound guys trying to put you into the dirt when your shoulder could pop out. Oh, and then you have a bum ankle, some ribs, and all that. He was a mess. I do not blame Baker. I blame the coaching staff specifically, because you should have sat him for multiple games to get Case Keenum in and try to get him back to some form of health. You should have had situations where it's like, look, yeah, the ball's failing. He does not look like the same guy. If you're looking to win games, why do you have Case Keenum as one of the highest paid backup quarterbacks in the NFL? He's there for that reason. I was at the game in Denver when he came in and won against the Broncos. Well, fine to me. You know, and so there's a lot behind the scenes of, did they put him in positions to fail? If so, why? This front office, remember, did not draft Baker Mayfield. Baker has his fifth-year option. Were they trying to expose him? That's a lot of conspiracy theories I would like to not buy into. But something's not quite right there.
Do you think the Browns are, you know, wanting to move on from Baker this offseason?
Alyssa, here's the thing. Who do you get? You're not getting anybody in the draft. This is by all accounts. And we're always surprised in the draft. Somebody pops up and all that. Depends on the situation a lot. You don't have a Joe Burrow coming out in this draft. You don't have a Andrew Luck. There's nobody like that coming in this draft. You're also not going to be able to draft high enough to get that guy, even if he was there. So then you look to other options. Well, do you want Deshaun Watson? That's a conversation for a different day. Who knows what is going to happen legally with him. Okay, so he's not there. Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, I'm sorry, they're not coming to Cleveland. Not happening. So now we look at, all right, are you going to try to trade for a Kirk Cousins, a Derek Carr? Is that better than a healthy Baker Mayfield? I wouldn't think anything exponentially. And he's been your guy, your first overall pick. So I don't know what option you do that would automatically say, okay, well, we got this new quarterback, now we're off. Because guess what? If a team has that guy, you're not getting him. And that's why I think he'll be back for that fifth year, that prove it year. And people think, too, like, oh, well, he'll be a lame duck quarterback. Well, not really. Do we forget Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins, who were put on franchise tags? It's not ideal. You can play that fifth year out. And then if you're not sure again or whatever, put him on a franchise tag. You can do that twice.
Uh-huh.
You can technically have him for two more years after next year.
Browns-Bengals on Sunday. My final question for you is, Andy, what other matchups intrigue you the most this weekend?
Well, I think anything really that when we're looking at it involves possible wild card matchups. I think where do the Colts end up? You know, against the Jaguars. Look, on paper, Jaguars look like an easy out. Remember, they beat the Buffalo Bills earlier. How about Steelers-Ravens? I hope they tie, Alyssa. I hope they tie because I'm a bitter Browns fan. I hope they tie. And they're all unhappy. I'm bitter. And then you have, let's say, the Titans as well. Battles for those top spots. The Saints are technically not eliminated against the Falcons. Well, that's a divisional game. So I bet you Atlanta would love to have play spoiler. That is the potential to be some fun. Battle for the AFC East. The Jets stink, but the Bills have been upset this year. What about the Patriots and Dolphins and Miami? Super tough defense. There's so many playoff implications for so many of these matches. I think it's hard to choose. From the ones I listed, you know, I want to see those. Rams 49ers is another one. 49ers trying to get in. Like, it's pretty much, you know what? I'm going to get some popcorn, get a cold bevy or two. I'm going to sit down Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to watch these games.
The stakes are high, and you got to check him out. Andy McNamara, Sportsnet National Fantasy host, always does a great job. We love his perspective when he comes on our program. Give him a follow on Twitter, at AndyMC81, also at Sportsnet. Great job, Andy, and enjoy the games.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Thank you, as always, for allowing us to be a part of your weekend. Mark it down. Join us every Saturday, 10 to 12 Eastern Time. And you bet we're always ready to talk some PGA news and notes. And it's a big weekend of golf. The PGA Tour Century Tournament of Champions is underway in Hawaii. Plus, we've got a lot of burning questions that we're going to get into with our next guest. Always thrilled to have him back. The very first edition of the Big E Sports Show in 2022. One of our favorites, as always, former PGA pro and prolific author, the great Larry Miller. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, and Happy New Year to everybody. It's our first show of the year and the new year, and looking forward to a super year of golf and getting back to normal as much as we can. So it's going to be a fun year, and really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen in the world of golf.
Well, we are thrilled to have you back in the seat and give us the perspective on everything. But let's talk about some of the golf resolutions that you have in 2022. What are some good goals that you've made? Because we want to have the best year ever.
Okay, make no double bogeys and don't shortside yourself. Now that and wait, there's one more. Don't three putt.
Okay.
So if you do that, I'm telling you, all your listeners out there, if you limit your three putting, don't shortside yourself, and limit the double bogeys, your score is going to plummet. You're going to really have a great year of scoring.
Well, and you got to hit more fairways too, right?
Yeah, well, of course, you got to hit it. That sets everything up. The drive sets everything up. It's always been my opinion. It's always been the most important club in the bag. If I drive it in the fairway all day, I'm probably going to have a good round, because you're going to have good lies in the fairway all day long, and not have to hit any trouble shots and bring double bogey into play, as we talked about double bogey. So yeah, driving it in the fairway is really vital, but then the other things I mentioned, that's more strategy, where you try to limit your mistakes. Golf's not perfect, we know that. So what you have to do is minimize the results of the errors, by if you can save bogey, do it. Bogey's not bad, really. Doubles ruin your score.
So for some of our serious golfers that are tuning in, I mean, there is a strategy as far as going about setting goals in golf. Like when you have that reflective time and you've got your journal out and you're kind of putting it all down on paper, what is the best way strategically to go about it? And, penciling in, the number of tournaments that you should play in a year.
Yes, you have to have a plan, of course. That's the number one thing, is to have a plan for everything. Plan for your schedule. Plan for the way that you go about playing golf. And when I say playing golf, that involves everything. It involves the preparation, getting ready, how you practice. And then once you get to that point, then you have to plan. Big part of your plan should be a pre-shot routine. Mm-hmm. That's something you have to work on at the beginning of the year and make sure that you've got a pre-shot routine that is consistent and that repeats the same every time. And as I've said many times on the show, it's almost ritualistic. It almost has to be like OCD-ish, where you do everything exactly the same as you step into a shot. And if you do that, if you have an inconsistent way of approaching a golf shot, then you're going to hit inconsistent golf shots.
Yes.
But if you're very consistent with your approach, then you have a better chance of hitting consistent shots. And that's what it's all about, is trying to repeat the swing over and over again, a good effective swing.
Larry Miller, our very special guest with us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, former PGA pro and author on many books. Tell us why it is important that you should be setting goals for your golf game.
Well, because it gives you something to reach for instead of just randomly getting out there and whacking the ball around. You're not going to get any better doing that. If you challenge yourself with there's games you can play on the putting green to challenge yourself. One thing that I taught Stephen, your son, was, mm-hmm. was to get on the green with two balls and go around the putting clock and hit both balls to each hole. Pick the worst one. Pick the one furthest away from the hole and then hit two from there. And if you three putt, you got to go back and start over. So what that does, it really challenges you to have good speed control and also making short putts, that 3 to 5 foot range, that critical range. So there are ways to challenge yourself, and you have to do that. You have to be able to play games with yourself, mental games, and try to challenge yourself. And if you hit the ball a certain distance, try to add 5 yards by doing some speed training. And set goals for everything in your game. And if you do that, you'll challenge yourself and you'll strive to get a little bit better.
Former PGA pro Larry Miller joins us each and every week at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We would love to connect with you. You can always join us live at E Radio Sports on Twitter. Send us an email, info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And if you missed any of our interviews, you can just check out and go back to podcastarena.com or download our app 24/7 Sports Map Radio Network. Larry, you are a former PGA pro. You talk about being OCD with your practice, your regimen. Give us a sample of how do you change things up? Like, what is your approach throughout the week and different things that you're working on? What is kind of a Larry Miller practice schedule?
Okay, well, I like to try to go through the bag. I start with a sand wedge and just hit little short, 20, 30-yard pitch shots with that, and then lengthen it out to maybe 50, 60 yards, and then work my way up to the gap wedge and go right through the bag that way. And you don't have to hit that many balls. You can hit, 8 or 10 balls with each club. And then whatever course that you play, typically your home golf course, get on the practice tee and play the holes as you expect to play them on the course. So if the first hole is a par 4 that you generally hit a driver and a 6-iron to, well, get on the range, hit a drive, just visualize that you're on that hole, hit your tee shot, try to hit it straight in the fairway, then pull out your 6-iron, pick out a target and hit that 6-iron just like you would on the course. That's the way Ben Hogan always did it. Ben Hogan always played the golf course on the practice range. And if you do that, once you get on the course, you'll be so much more comfortable on the course. It won't be a big surprise. You'll feel very comfortable and you're satisfied with your decisions because you've already made them in your mind. And now if you're playing a strange course, you obviously can't do that you've never played before. But then it's important to go through the bag because you don't know which clubs you're going to have to hit on that strange golf course. So make sure you hit just a few balls with every club so that you're comfortable once you get out there.
Glad you're with us. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show on this Saturday morning. We're going to move ahead with Larry Miller, former PGA pro. And let's talk about some of the players on tour and who has the best chance, you think, this year to win a major championship.
Boy, it's getting to be where every week on the PGA Tour, it's like taking a dart, throwing it to a dartboard, with names on it.
Yeah.
A dart's going to hit a name. I mean, it's just so hard to pick winners now. And I was thinking about this the other day. The Korn Ferry Tour is producing so many great players and first-time winners that I really believe that if you teed up the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour at the same time in a tournament, I think half the time your winners would come from the Korn Ferry. That's how good the talent level is out there. But I think this year, I'm looking for Rory McIlroy to bounce back with a really big year. I think Jordan Spieth is poised to have a really good year. And then you've got the guys the consistent players like Colin Morikawa. I think Victor Hovland is going to have a big year. Sam Burns has already won, and he's probably going to have a big year. So those are 5 or 6 of the names that I think are going to really step up and have good, consistent years and win majors. I think out of those names, I think you're going to have 2 or 3 major winners.
You mentioned Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, and Rory, but we can't overlook John Rahm. I mean, he is rested. He's ready to go. He's playing this weekend, and I really think he's going to have a sensational 2022.
Yeah, he's riding a lot of confidence. You know, he's world number one. And, you know, just being world number one, just that alone just gives you this air of confidence, you know, that you're the best there is. And so and golf's a lot about self-belief. And so, you know, if everyone's telling you you're number one in the world, you're going to have a ton of self-belief,
yeah,
for sure. And so, yeah, he's probably going to have a big year. But, you know, I'm not as high on him, his golf swing, as I am with some of the others that I mentioned. John Rahm has a golf swing that's certainly non-traditional. It's very quick, very short. He moves that club around a lot. He changes planes quite drastically from backswing to downswing. I just don't know a swing that relies so much on timing like that, you know, how that's going to hold up. But he's sure got a lot of confidence and willpower for sure, and a lot of length. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But my prediction is I don't think Rahm's going to win a major this year. That would be my prediction.
Okay, well, what is your prediction for Jordan Spieth? I mean, can he become a top five player again? A lot changed in his life in 2021.
I think he absolutely can because of his fabulous short game. He's just a tremendous pitcher of the ball and chipper and putter. And it seems like he's got that driver. This last season, he hit a lot more fairways than the previous couple of years when he was struggling. I think he's got that driver figured out. He's plenty long enough. And so because of his great short game and because of his history of winning and his confidence, I think Jordan Spieth is going to win a major this year. I predict that for sure.
What about Rory? I mean, can he win another major?
Absolutely. When Rory McIlroy is on his game and everything's clicking, nobody's going to beat him. He's that good. And
every
player out there on the tour, it's like Tiger. It's like,
yeah,
Tiger was. When everything's clicking, he's going to win. He's that good, and all the players know it. They know he's that good. But he kind of messed himself up there early last season when he started chasing distance and trying to keep up with Bryson. And he kind of messed up his golf swing, but he's backed off of that now, and he's back swinging that club really well. And so I think I'm looking for a really huge year for him this year.
You know, you mentioned distance, and that's one of the topics I wanted to discuss with you, is golf's governing bodies took a small step last year in what was announced in the month of October, limiting distance in the pro game with a new rule to limit driver length. What's your position on this? I mean, is this a good thing, Larry?
Well, what you just said, you hit the nail on the head because you used the word small step.
Okay.
That's what it is. It's a very small step, and it's almost like they were trying to get ahead of things for what's to come by doing this. But I think that's just much ado about nothing in the driver length. I mean, what is a guy? There's a guy in the European Tour that's 6'10". Now, how is he going to use a 46-inch driver? He's going to have to be, he's going to have to bend down in 90 degrees to use it. I think it's crazy. I don't think it makes any difference. You know, the longer a driver gets, the longer the arc is, and the more time there is for a mistake. And not only that, it's harder to hit it in the fairway with drivers that long. I don't think it's a big deal at all. What they really need to do, when they decide to get serious about distance control, what they're going to have to do is limit the golf ball. That's the only thing you can do. You can't start making the courses 9,000 yards long because you're going to run out of real estate, ruin a lot of great old golf courses. And you know, we've talked about this before on the show. Jack Nicklaus, 30 years ago, wanted to do that, dial the ball back and have it only go a certain distance,
yeah,
and everyone,
mm-hmm,
play a uniform ball. And so, like I said, when they really get serious about it, that's what they're going to have to do. And I could see that coming down the line maybe in a year or two.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We are inside the ropes with former PGA pro Larry Miller. What do you think the PGA Tour's average driving distance?
295, 305. Now, that's average. You got a lot of guys hitting at 320, 30, 310, 315, but you've got some hitting at 280 and 85 and 90 too. I'd say more like 295 to 310 in that range would be, I think, the PGA Tour average.
Mm-hmm. Former PGA Pro joining us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Always our favorite. That is Larry Miller. Our time is quickly winding down. We got to talk about Tiger. Will he play in 2022? That's the big question.
I think so. I think that his golf swing is right there. I think his stamina is the issue. And walking on that leg, and you can bet, I can guarantee you that Tiger Woods is doing everything that he can to build up his stamina and strengthen that leg so that he can walk 72 holes. And I think it's going to happen. The guy is, he's just an unusual specimen of human being. He's just so much willpower that he has to accomplish things that I think he's pushing himself to do it. And I do. I think he's going to tee it up this year. And I'm not going to say he's going to win a tournament, but I think he will have some good rounds of golf on the PGA Tour this year.
What events do you think we would perhaps see him play?
Well, I think it's either going to be the Masters, or if he gets himself in good enough shape for that in April, or the Open at St. Andrews, where, you know, this is a big one at St. Andrews, and it's later in the year, and I think that would be more reasonable to think he might be ready for that.
It's incredible just to think that he's playing golf again. I mean, he is lucky to be alive, Larry.
You know, it really is. And so many doctors, I've got at least three doctors at my club that told me after this wreck happened and the weeks after that they didn't think he'd ever play golf again. And then that's three orthopedic surgeons. So that just tells you what kind of willpower this guy has. Kind of like Ben Hogan when he overcame that terrible accident. So that's what the great players have. They have that strong willpower and that will to win and succeed and the determination and persistence. And that's what it takes to be an elite player.
We always love when he joins us inside the ropes, Larry Miller. Give him go to his website, LarryMillerGolf.com, former PGA pro and author. And we look forward to another conversation next week. Take care, Larry. Stay safe.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.